Ann Landers had more than 90 million readers every day. And in 1978, the World Almanac named her the most influential woman in the U.S. And now there is a production called The Lady with All the Answers opening at the Theater in the Center, at the Center in Munster. And this is the Patty Vasquez Show, by the way, with Andre Darlis. And we are welcoming Janet Ulrich Brooks, who plays Ann Landers in this production. Come on closer to your microphone.
Okay.
And I am so thrilled to talk about this because really, Ann Landers affected so many people in so many ways.
Oh, yeah.
Even though she hasn't been around for a while, people still know, you know, Dear Ann.
Sure.
Right, right. Dear Ann Landers, Dear Ann Landers. And Dear Abby, her sister,
yes,
her
exactly.
twin sister, right.
And tell us about this production. What, I mean, obviously Chicagoans really so embrace who she was as one of our own.
Sure.
And this takes place in her condominium on Lakeshore Drive, doesn't it?
Yes, yes. And she's, you know, I don't want to do too much spoilers, but she's writing the column of her career at this point, and she's been Ann Landers for 20 years now, and but she's also putting together her book of a lot of her favorite letters from over the years. So throughout the show, and it's a one-woman show, so it's just me and the audience, who is actually my scene partner. They're my scene partner, and so you'll hear different letters and letters that. Some of them I remember.
Yeah.
I remember when there was like a national conversation or cultural conversation about, you know, how to hang toilet paper. And so when this comes up in the play, I was like, oh my God, I remember when we were all talking about that.
I remember reading Ann Landers when you'd read the paper and whatnot. So and Dear Abby too. I'm just curious, I know this isn't giving too much away, but Ann Landers really was kind of a pioneer in newspaper and journalism.
Absolutely.
A leading force. Did she always set out to do that?
She set out to, she was a go-getter, just very energetic. She called herself a sort of Jewish Joan of Arc. She wanted to save the world, you know. She kind of happened into, she wasn't the first Ann Landers. There was another woman doing that who passed away, and she had to, you know, work to get the job. And I think of her as an early Google, you know, a search for information. And one of the first, my mother was always reading her columns to us and, you know, oh, well, here's something. And people did pass them on to give information. And it was the first time we really kind of heard from other people around the country and around the world and what they thought about things. And it opened up, it got us talking and having this kind of, these larger conversations about some of the smaller things.
Well, and to see that there were things that you could both identify with and go, me too.
Right.
But also to go, oh my God.
Holy cow.
That's insane, you know?
Well, I feel pretty normal now.
Yes, it's like watching Hoarders or something. You're like, oh, thank God that's not me.
Yeah.
But,
right,
you know, but also having sympathy for those folks and you know, really loving and digging into what Ann Landers' response would be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. She was very clever, very, you know, kind of blunt and as she says, hopelessly square. And yet she changed with the times.
Mm-hmm.
And this play takes place in 1975. She's been Ann Landers for 20 years. So think about culturally, what happened in this country from 1955 to 1975.
Wow.
And, you know, what the issues, the sexual revolution, the just, you know, Vietnam, just so many issues, so many things in our country that happened in that time. And so I'm also surprised with how many things are discussed in the play that are still issues now. Today,
oh, I believe it.
So, oh, I bet, yeah.
Yeah, it's quite timely.
Was it fascinating?
Even in its
going back, I'm sure you had to read a lot of the back, and you said you remembered a couple of them,
right,
too.
Right, sure, sure.
Was it fascinating going back and reading all those?
Oh my God, yeah. Yes, it's kind of like my childhood. I mean, she started in 1955, and I was born the next year. So yeah, I kind of grew up with her.
47 years as a columnist, isn't that?
Yeah,
that's wild.
I know, right?
Well,
right.
How did she get started? What was her background?
She didn't even finish college. She got married early, and love at first sight. She'd actually broke an engagement to get married. And come see the show. You'll find out a little bit more about her. But
nice.
She kind of got involved in local politics first. And this was when she was living in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, when she started to get into local politics. So she started to go to Washington, and she got to be friends with Hubert Humphrey. She met all these people, and she wanted to be busy all the time. You know, she couldn't. She's a goer, a doer, and so she kept all their phone numbers. She stayed in touch, and so as she says in the play, I'm not an expert on any issue, but I can get to the experts. So it's their wisdom you get every morning with your cornflakes.
See, that's cool.
So yeah, so she really reached out to people around the country too to get information and to find out, you know, what they thought and give answers as best she could to help people. And then when questions got larger than life and death, and you know, she would reach out to the experts and then do her very best to navigate those.
And have you had a chance to talk to folks who worked with her? A listener asks if you happen to know what Rick Kogan might think about this production, because he was a friend of hers and worked with her.
Oh, I think he would love it. You know, if he's not going to be too critical, if he doesn't come and say, I don't think she sounds like her.
Yeah,
that would be. I don't know that I've ever. But, it would be interesting to see a colleague of yours and an icon at that portrayed on
stage
in an intimate way, as you mentioned. Yeah. The audience is your scene partner.
Absolutely. And today finally was our first preview, and I got my first opportunity with my scene partner, and they were terrific, as Anne would say. Just terrific.
It's so cool. I'm curious, in 47 years, was there ever a column that you know about or advice that she gave maybe early on that within that 47 years she kind of reversed herself on and thought, I might have said this back then.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe not now.
She changed on things on women's roles, abortion rights, divorce, big one.
Well, we have I have a pair of tickets to go see The Lady with All the Answers, which is opening at the theater at the Center in Munster, which, by the way, is one of my favorite places. I've had the honor of performing in their banquet room. The theater, is at the sort of stage in the round?
Right, it's, three quarters.
Three quarters, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful stage, an incredible facility. I love going there. The people that run that theater are so passionate about what they do.
That's fantastic to work there.
It is, and it's not that far away. You think Munster, Indiana, it's a hop, skip, and a jump. If I'm going there, and that's South, you know, I'm good with it. I'm just saying, it's south and east.
Yeah.
Great theater. So I have a trivia question about Ann Landers. What Halloween myth did she help spread? 312-981-7200. What Halloween myth did Ann Landers help spread in 1995? I'll help you narrow it down. 312-981-7200. I do have a pair of tickets to see Lady with All the Answers, the one-woman play about advice columnist and Chicagoan Ann Landers, playing now through August 12th at the theater at the Center in Munster. For tickets, everyone can call the box office at 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com. And we were talking to Janet Ulrich Brooks, who is portraying Ann Landers in this production. More with our guests when we return on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis on 720 WGN. Ann Landers, The Lady with All the Answers, opens at the theater at the Center in Munster. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, and we are joined by Janet Ulrich Brooks, who is starring as Ann Landers in this solo show. And we have a pair of tickets to give away if you happen to know what Halloween myth did Ann Landers help to perpetuate and spread in 1995. Let's see if Christina knows. Christina, what do you think is the myth that she helped spread?
That she had died and was talking back from beyond.
Oh, I don't know if that's a myth. That sounds like a hoax. So I don't know if she did that hoax. We'll have Michael look that one up. But stand by, because maybe I can give you something for that interesting tidbit if that happens to be something she did. Julie, do you know what the answer is? What myth did Ann Landers help perpetuate in 1995 about Halloween? Julie? Did I lose Julie? I think I lost Julie.
Oh no.
And she might have had the answer, too.
Right? I have that up. I don't think I've done anything wrong here.
Julie.
Maybe her myth is that she's not there.
Yeah.
That's our very own little hoax right there.
Oh.
I think we lost.
I didn't know this.
Can you Google whether or not she pretended like she was dead and was answering letters from the...
Yeah, let me check it out.
Because if that's a thing, I would totally give Christina a prize. I feel like Julie had the answer and we lost her, and now I'm in a holding pattern because everyone else is like, I don't know. I have other tidbits, other pieces of trivia, but I can't give you the answer. I didn't give you the answer off the air. Now you're like, no, I need to know. So Christina's guess is that Ann Landers pretended that she was dead and was answering letters from the grave, which is not the myth. There are other things on here that I did not realize. Like, she perpetuated the myth, promoted the myth that eating brown rice thrown at weddings can make birds explode.
Oh, I remember.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Because we always used to throw rice at weddings.
Right.
Then it turned to bubbles or flower
petals.
Yeah,
don't do that because birds will explode.
Birds will explode.
Yes, instantly by eating the rice traditionally thrown at weddings. Landers advised the concerned bride-to-be to pass the information around to guests, but said to state this on the invitation would be in poor taste. So don't put it on the invitation to throw rice because the birds might explode.
There they go. There they go. I can't find anything that says Ann Landers pretended she was dead.
Sorry, Christina.
It's not to say she couldn't have, but I can't find anything yet.
Let's see if Renee knows. Renee, what Halloween myth did Ann Landers help perpetuate?
That Halloween candy was poisoned.
Yes.
Yep. That's the one.
We're all celebrating for you. You won.
That was a sad blower.
You won a pair of tickets to see The Lady with All the Answers, the one-woman play about advice columnist and Chicago and Ann Landers, playing now through August 12th at the theater at the Center in Munster. Everybody else can call the box office at 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com. We are talking to Janet Ulrich Brooks, who is starring as Ann Landers. And I have two more pairs of tickets to give away, so we'll figure out another way. You have a trivia question you would like to ask the listeners.
Ooh, yeah.
Now that you've been doing all your research digging into Ann's past. A little bit. Otherwise, I don't know if I have more. I might have more. I think I have one more. No, these aren't. They don't rise to the occasion of the Halloween myth one. Because, I mean, that's still, people are still afraid. Razor blades.
We would have to dump our candy out.
Yes.
And then had mom and dad check the candy to make sure. And even if there was the teeniest little piece that was unwrapped, garbage.
How about how she hangs her toilet paper? Whether she hangs it down back against the wall, or whether it comes up and over and hangs down in front.
312.
Very particular about
this. This is nice because it's a 50-50. This could be your own preference and see if you agreed with Ann Landers. Which way did Ann prefer to hang her toilet paper? With the, what do you call it, the rolled?
Back, let's see, if it hangs down in the back.
In the back.
Against the wall.
Then it comes under.
Or whether it, right, so it would come under, or whether it comes up from behind and hangs down in front.
Yes, so if you have to pull it up or pull it down.
Right.
So you're pulling up and,
Full disclosure.
We'll discuss after we find out what Anne preferred.
Okay.
Because there's actually an answer as to the creator of the toilet paper roll as to which way you're supposed to hang it. Yes.
Right. The age-old debate.
Yeah, no, you know what's funny? My husband does it one way and I do the other, so every time we go to the bathroom, one of us
it's different.
Because it's on, like, you can just slide it on and off, so we're constantly like
switching
it back
and forth. It's like a war
every single time. 312-981-7200. How did Ann Landers like to hang her toilet paper? 312-981-7200 to win a pair of tickets to see The Lady with All the Answers. I love that. Does that come up in the production?
Oh yes, it does.
Fantastic.
Yes, it does.
As it should. I think it's a healthy debate.
And it's the one I remember because. I remember also when toilet paper came out with designs on it.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So then there was a real debate about whether that should, hang out so you can see it, or whether it's in the back, And then they ended up taking the dye out of all toilet paper because they realized it was bad for you. You know, that was years later.
I didn't even notice that it disappeared. I just know it's quilted for my comfort.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just because I've spent a lot of time on it.
Angel soft. Yeah.
This seems like it's going to be very comfortable for me. Let's see what Lori says. Lori, which way do you think Ann preferred her toilet paper to be hung?
Well, I say on the outside so your nail polish does not scratch the wall.
Ooh, that's a great answer.
I believe that's how I learned that.
Oh. So you're saying that in your production that Ann prefers it not, so this is coming up and over the top, not coming up and under.
Over the top, because if you go the other way towards the wall,
your nails will hit the
then
wall.
Your nail polish.
Oh, interesting. All right. Hold the line, Lori. Let's see what somebody else. It's a 50-50 shot, so I got to see.
Right.
Because this is just a right or wrong answer.
Yeah.
At this point, let's see who gets it right. Debbie, what do you vote for? Over or under? Debbie?
Oh, I said over the top, too.
Over the top. We got two for over the top. Let's see what Patty says. Patty, what do you think? Over or under?
Over the top. And you know what? I'm almost 100% positive on it because that's when I started turning my toilet paper that way after seeing it in one of her films.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Let's see what Carol thinks. Carol, over or under with the toilet paper?
Well, I'm going to just say under for the heck of it.
There we go. All right. So we've got three for over and one for under. Who has it right?
She did it under.
Under.
Against Carol the wall. Right. Under. Yeah.
Carol wins.
And, yeah, Carol wins. Carol wins. And that is pretty much today with the audience kind of
50-50.
That 3-1 odds.
Oh, 3-1.
You know, that most people. I use mine over the top.
I used
to
do mine under. Now I do it over.
I wonder if. You know what I don't know is how. Dear Abby, how her sister Popo, how she hung hers. Maybe that's where we got the
rivalry.
She probably said the
yeah.
No, she go over or you'll mess up your nails. You know, it could. Anne preferred hers back against the wall, coming underneath.
Did she have a reason for that? Is it something she shares in the production?
That was just her preference, and she was. It's very surprising how much mail she got. On that, because somebody wrote a letter. She almost didn't print it because she thought it was so inconsequential. And then she just gets 15,000 letters toilet paper, and everyone's who thinks it should be this way? Who's ever gone into somebody else's bathroom and turned?
Oh, and flipped it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Carol has won a pair of tickets to see the production of The Lady with All the Answers opening at Theater
don't
at the Center.
Don't tell anybody in the audience, in Carol.
Don't tell anybody. Yeah, and everybody that's listening right now. Don't say anything during the show.
Pretend you don't know.
By the way, according to Good Housekeeping, you use less paper when you drape the end over the top of the roll simply because it's easier to see. You don't have to reach as far to grab the paper. And if you buy toilet paper with a pad, well, that's a while ago. On the flip side, a lot of people say that if you do it under, it makes it harder for cats and toddlers to unravel the whole thing.
That's interesting.
Who knew?
Yeah. I'm on
the
over.
You're on over. I used to do under. Now I do over.
And how about yourself?
I do over.
You do over.
I do
so
over.
Do
yeah.
Over now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because it also momentum is on your side, and you just rip it off.
Well, supposedly there's something about the torque, and I don't know.
We'll fix it all during the break. More after this on 720 WGN. In 1978, the World Almanac named Ann Landers the most influential woman in the U.S., and you have got to go see this production of Ann Landers, The Lady with All the Answers, opening at the theater at the Center in Munster. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis, and we are talking to Janet Ulrich Brooks, who is the star of the solo play. What was we talked a little bit about the fact that the audience is your scene partner.
Right.
And this is, have you done solo shows before?
I have. I've done two other ones. I did Golda's Balcony, where I played Golda Meir.
Oh,
and, that was a challenge. And then a Lillian Hellman. The show's called Lillian, and playing Lillian Hellman, and that was pretty wonderful at Timeline Theater.
And you were mentioning while we were on the break that you finally had your previews today to have an audience react to what you've been working on, what you've been crafting.
Yes.
And that has to be so, because you're almost working in a vacuum with your director and maybe with tech.
Right. And you say the same things over and over, and you kind of get caught in rhythms. And you're saying, you're just kind of learning the lines, basically. This was a short rehearsal process, too. So it was just kind of like, you just learn the words. But then to have a conversation, again, it opens it up. It frees the story, and it really gets more fun. Way more fun for me. Riding the waves of their responses. I had a great time.
Exactly, and because you get to see it land.
Right.
You get to see the reactions people have, and they remember something or they laugh at something.
And then they give you, and I do some direct, questions to them, and their responses, they were hilarious. Yeah, they were fun and engaged, and we had a good time.
I asked you this off the air, but do you like performing in the smaller, more intimate venues as opposed to the bigger theaters?
I love the small venues, of course, because that you can just feel the experience, that communal experience of humanity all around, so I do love that, but I also have a good time in the bigger theaters. They pay better, but
yes.
Right, right.
True story.
Of course I love it all, but there's nothing like Chicago Intimate Storefront Theater. It's pretty great.
And the thing is that you do feed off of that energy. I was there's something about an audience that comes prepared to have a good time. I often tell people after a show when they say they had a great time, I'm very honest, I'm only as good as my audience.
Right.
Because
if
they're flat, if they're not getting it or enjoying themselves, you're pulling out, you're really trying to drag it out of them. You can only create so much because you sort of risk overselling it, right? If you're trying to bring your energy up, now it's sort of uncomfortable.
You can't throw a show at them. You have to bring them along with you. You have to kind of put your arms around them and say, let's go on this journey together.
Yes.
You know, and that's what's fun about direct to audience, you know, one person show, when you are really talking with them. And you normally a fourth wall show, you know, you're feeling that energy and you feel those waves. I call it riding the waves, you know, feel the waves. But to actually really engage with them is quite exciting.
By the way, we are still getting texts about the toilet paper.
I know we're not surprised
about that. Mm-hmm. Years ago, two major brands of toilet paper printed their name on the roll. The name was right side up, and when the paper was over the top, if I recall, it was Charmin and Northern Brands. A great show as always. Thank you, Alfredo. Appreciate that.
That's great. Oh, wow.
Many years ago, my aunt lived with my mom, and she had severe arthritis. If under on the toilet paper, she could tear it off simpler with one hand. So that's interesting.
Oh, okay. Sure.
All right. And then somebody else said that their dog would always get into the toilet paper, so they've put it on the back of the counter.
Oh, that's funny.
On the back of the toilet.
Yeah. Well, dogs like to get into everything.
Yes, they do.
Well, and especially if you're drinking out of the bowl, you got to wipe that off somewhere.
Right. Just...
So I am always fascinated by the way I being in someone's bathroom is sort of the strangest thing, because you get to be alone in someone's private space. I mean, like their ultimate private space,
right?
You know, where they do their own private stuff.
Right.
And do you ever look into people's cabinets? I never do anymore. I used to.
I wonder about that. I coach actors on the side too in my home, you know, and so the one thing that I, you know, try to keep as the cleanest is my bathroom.
Yes.
You know, and I often wonder if people go through my my cabinet just wondering, you know.
Yeah,
I would never do that. It wouldn't even occur to me, I don't think.
Yeah, I think I'm curious.
You know what?
Really?
I think I've done it before.
Okay.
I certainly at someone's home, maybe at a party where I'm looking for some aspirin or something, you know, I'll do that.
But yeah.
It's the strangest feeling when you're, and I feel that way too. When people come over to my house, it is the thing that we try to clean the most thoroughly,
right?
You know,
right.
Including the tub, because people will look behind your shower curtain.
They will look.
Yes,
this is
they
good
will.
To know.
Oh,
this is really good to know.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you gotta clean everything, a baseboard, the whole kit and caboodle.
I just never am gonna have people over.
Right there, you go.
Don't even come over.
Or
we'll meet out.
Or don't let them use the bathroom.
There you go.
Because people always say, "Can I use your bathroom?" Can you imagine saying
no? Who says no? I know, right? That'd be a question for Ann Landers.
No.
Actually, how do I get people out of the bathroom or keep them out?
Can I use the bathroom? No, I'm sorry.
No.
We don't have one. We don't. I've had that before. Someone will say, "Do you have a bathroom?" No, I don't.
Just oddly, don't have one.
Oddly, we just use the backyard.
Right.
We're going green.
Here's a shovel.
Yeah.
Good luck.
We've got some crops in the back. Oh man, I'm so excited to see this production. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited for you to come.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we'll see. You know what you vote for in the different.
The toilet paper.
Yeah.
are there other votes in the production?
No. But there's just, you know, just opinions and questions. Like, what do you guess how many letters I got on this or that, or
Wow. What was she had to have? Yeah. There, I mean, that's the thing too. It's one thing to give the advice, right? She gets the letters asking for advice, but then there's the onslaught. Can you imagine Ann Landers?
And every letter that comes in that has a return address gets a response.
Whoa.
You're every kidding. Even every if she doesn't
one.
Use it?
Right.
No
so
kidding.
That's when she, you know, she ended up having a staff, of course.
Of course.
People, you know, so
How do you think she would have reacted to, I guess, okay, so if Ann Landers was alive and well and today and she has an online column, do you think she would have really adapted to email and cell phone and texting, or if she would have been more old school and held out for no cell phone?
Right. You know, I think she would have gone for it.
I think so,
absolutely. She was, you know, she was forward thinking. She was forward moving, even though she was, you know, she had her standards,
right?
You know, and believed that, you know, decency can be sexy as hell, and
yeah,
which is true.
It is.
And
taking out the garbage is sexy.
Yeah, right. It can be.
Yes, uh-huh. Do the dishes, baby. Scrub that pot.
I love it when you scrub that.
Sorry.
That's okay.
You and I both had the...
Right.
Yeah, he doesn't let it soak. He scrubs.
Yeah.
Elbow grease.
That's right.
I love it. Yeah. Anyway.
Sorry to mean to...
Yeah,
you
I
and I
know.
Are having our own little scene fantasies over here.
You're cleaning fantasies.
Well, people wrote in about their fantasies. And a lot... a lot.
Well,
people need to get things off their chest.
Yeah.
You know, like she says, you need somebody to listen to your side of the story, somebody that won't yell at you or tell you you're lying or crazy.
I get that. Yeah. People do that all the time to me.
Yeah.
I don't ask for any advice. They still tell me I'm lying and I'm crazy.
But there were always those, you know, there was that anonymity to it.
Yeah.
That was so great. And that's another thing. I mean, with cell phones and email and stuff.
Oh, right.
You know, you wouldn't have as much of that. But I think she would have been going and doing and, you know, staying connected in some way. You know.
We have one more pair of tickets. And so I'm going to do it the easy way. Pick a number between 1 and 8.
Okay.
All right, pick a number. No, you can say it out loud.
Oh, I actually said 7.
Yeah, 7. So with the 7th caller, 312-981-7200, I have a pair of tickets for you to see The Lady with All the Answers opening at Theater at the Center in Munster. 312-981-7200 to win a pair of tickets to see this production. All the people that called with the right answers earlier were like, oh, all I had to do was be caller number 7. Yeah, that's how that works this time.
I think Carol was caller number 7.
I think she was. Oh, yeah. Carol, I think. On 312-981-7200, and we will have those tickets for you set aside. And we are so thrilled that you're doing this. I think, has this been done before, or is this the first time?
It has been done before.
Okay,
yes.
I was going to say.
Judith Ivey did it, actually, and she did it up at Northlight Theater. I don't know how many years ago. I don't know, 8 or 10. I don't know.
Cool.
You'd have to look that one up.
No, I'm not. I want to know about the.
That could be a trivia question.
I want to know about the Janet Ulrich Brooks production.
Right.
Of course,
that's our favorite one.
Well, and it is the perfect time for it too, because we are looking for answers, right? And we're all sort of so inundated with these conversations and social media. As Andrea mentioned, you know, what would it be like now to have Ann Landers online? It's so kind of fantastic that she never was. I mean, as far as like Facebook and Twitter.
Right, because those weren't around. But I think that's why she was the most influential woman in 1978. What other woman was anybody listening to in 1978?
Great point.
You know, that they weren't getting mad at for, you know.
Sure.
I don't know.
As far as we know.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure there have always been haters, Janet. There have always, right? Haters ain't new.
No, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. There were a lot of, any woman that was being listened to back then, I think, was being hated pretty much, except for her and Dear Abby. Because it was kind of like writing to mom or, you know.
Your cool aunt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It wasn't someone with an agenda. She didn't have a. She didn't. She had very strong politics and very strong political ideas, but she didn't have a political agenda, and so she was really concerned with people, with the human condition, and with she wanted to help people.
Yeah.
She just wanted to help people. And so that was an outward thing as opposed to, you know, going out to change this or change that, you know. So,
lovely.
I think that's...
And by the way, Joanne has won the pair of tickets to see The Lady with All the Answers, the one-woman play about advice columnist and Chicagoan Ann Landers, playing now through August 12th at Theater at the Center in Munster. For tickets, call the box office at 219-836-3255 or visit theateratthecenter.com. It is Theater Thursday. We're going to continue our conversation with Janet and bring in Scott Stantis as well in just a moment on 720 WGN. It's a Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis. Ann Landers, The Lady with All the Answers, opens at Theater at the Center in Munster. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and joining us is the star of that production, The Lady with All the Answers. It's Janet Ulrich Brooks, and joining us as well is Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. I wanted to, and Scott often joins us for Theater Thursday as well, and we haven't had a chance to ask you much about your background. Where are you from originally? Janet?
Oh, that's such a big question. Originally, I was born in Hamburg, New York, outside of Buffalo. Yeah, Western New York. I was there for about 10 years. Went to Michigan for a couple while my folks went to grad school. We ended up in Warrensburg, Missouri. In 68, we moved there. My dad taught at a college there. So mostly Missouri. I grew up there, went to high school and college there, and in college started working down in the Ozarks, Branson. Heard of Branson?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was singing and dancing in a saloon show at Silver Dollar City. And
What was that like?
Because it was my seasonal job for 10 years.
Then apparently you liked it if you kept going back for 10 years.
I loved it. I still have, you know, friends down there that are family to me, you know, and that's... I spent my 20s down there. I grew up there, you know.
Was it like camp almost for performers?
It kind of was.
Yeah.
You know, you show up for either the 3-month season or the 6-month season, and it's beautiful. The country down there is just, you know, it's gorgeous. I've done approximately 7,000 can-cans in my life.
Come on.
That's cool. Way before Dancing with the Stars.
That's fantastic. Do you still dance? Because you're incredibly lean. You have a dancer's body.
God love you. Thanks.
Okay.
Which I think I'm completely lost.
No, you're...
And your posture's spectacular.
I'm hunched over here.
I feel like doing...
You're right. Hey, Janet.
Your husband, I'm sorry, your husband.
We dance in the living room. I haven't... I'm not a dancer anymore, you know, because that ends at a certain age, which we won't mention.
No, we don't. Yes. I told Andrea when we first started doing the show, I was like, one thing we will not talk about is how old I am. We make no reference.
That's right, yeah.
I didn't let listeners know. I'm just like, because it affects us.
Oh, it totally does.
People don't understand what it does for, and for any performer in general, but for women in particular.
Right, absolutely.
It's a death knell to say how old you are.
I had a guy ask my age the other day.
Why?
And I thought.
What?
Wow. He did, and I went, for real? Really, you're asking me this?
I'm not gonna
tell you. So I always give my canned answer.
You know what? I always end up telling. I don't know why.
Well, I ask people, when people ask me how old I am, I said, look, we just met, and I hate lying to you right off the bat. So let's go ahead. So let's just forget about it. So what did your dad teach? What was did both your parents teach after grad school?
Yeah, but my parents were both teachers and lovers of the arts. And so arts were integrated into our daily lives. My father taught first industrial arts and then safety. He got into traffic safety, and he ended up being the head of the safety department at Central Missouri State, and it involved traffic safety and industrial safety and all the different safeties.
All the safeties.
Yes, criminal justice and all that sort of thing.
Really?
And my mother was a speech therapist, and my father directed the church choir for 40 years, and my mom wrote all the plays at the church, and we did some community theater together. The Ulrich family. Yeah, we were like the Von Trapps.
Do you have siblings?
I have a sister, Barbara. Okay. She lives up in Evanston. Yeah.
Does she act?
Not anymore. No, she was she just retired this year. Has been a sixth grade math teacher at Shute Middle School in Evanston. And boy, she had been in the trenches.
Was she involved in theater?
Years and years. She was.
In Evanston? Because my.
No. But she is the math teacher who always was the stage manager for all of the shows, all the musicals.
That's cool.
And everything.
Oh, yeah, how wonderful.
I know the Jeff Awards are the Chicago's biggest awards. You have two nominations.
Six nominations.
What is that like?
Wait, six. I'm sorry.
What is that like? You gotta correct your bio.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
It says two in your bio.
Well, she wrote the two that I spoke.
I'm like,
in
wait
my,
a second. Andrea has my, the same information.
I was like, wait, it says two on the bio sheet here.
I could have been wrong as well.
Okay. I'm curious. Sorry. Is this like the Oscars? Because those are huge. I know they're huge. Where do you remember? You know where you are? Are you awakened at 5 a.m. when you get the call that you've been nominated?
Oh no. You usually comes on Facebook. All of a sudden you get, hey, congratulations, and you're like, what? Why?
I should have known.
Why? How come?
That's how we all get our news now, isn't it, Scott?
It's pretty much like, thank you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Or the worst is, oh, too bad. You're going, what? Right. What?
Yeah. Let me call my agent. Oh, I am? Okay. Oh, thanks.
You were
great.
Robbed. Oh, I was. Oh, my God. Wait, what?
That's great. What have you enjoyed the most about the Chicago theater scene? Andrea asked you about small theaters versus big theaters.
The community itself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think... And actors from other places will come in and say, wow, it's not like this in LA, or it's not like this in New York. At a casting director's office, we'll all be there, and it's like, hey, hi, how are you? And we're all helping you. Hey, if not me, you know? And we all just kind of...
Oh, yeah.
The community is very supportive. And there is so much theater here, and you just can't get to it all. That's the frustrating part, especially, you know, like when you're working, you don't have time to go. And then when you have time, you can't afford to go.
Right, yeah.
But I think the theater community here is phenomenal. And I think there's just a lot of really good stuff, young and old, coming up.
Michael, do I have a break? Because I don't see one in the... Okay.
Would you like one?
Here behind the curtain, he can talk right into my ear that nobody else hears.
Oh.
And so he gave me, before we came into the segment, he gave me one piece of information and then clicked in with it.
I got in, Michael. I fell back into a little bit of automatic mode for right there for a second.
Okay. Yes. So
forgiven.
And to be fair, I am often late for breaks and news. So Michael was like, "Okay, let's get Patty back on schedule."
I meant to say sponsor for news.
Okay. There we go. we've already had some tech issues today. You're right though about the theater scene here. I was at an audition yesterday, and it was so funny because PR casting,
They're great.
They've also remodeled, so it's like less floor space. So I was in a hurry, so I was over this sheet of papers for your info, and I hear someone like breathing down my neck, and because I realize I'm like, oh, I'm in your way, I'm sorry, and I look up and it's my friend Lorena, and we're both like screaming because we haven't seen each other, but of course it's a Latina audition, so we're always
you're screaming. So were you both auditioning for the same part?
Yes.
Is it weird and awkward when your friends are auditioning for the same part as you?
You know what's great is I've been rejected so many times it really doesn't matter. I really the yeses are so far and few between. I don't see any. You're your own competition. If you're the right look or you're the right, you know, kind of character that they want, then as long as you're bringing your best, mm-hmm. it's really up to what the client wants for an audition, for especially for commercials.
Yeah. And sometimes you know you're in the room and you're like, wow, well, if you and I are here, then you know if they want you, they want you, and if they want me, they want me. But that's apples and oranges, and who knows?
Exactly.
That's nice. That's so mature.
Well, you know, like I said, 20 years
it
in the
is.
Business.
Oh, what? No again? What's for dinner?
As long as I don't get a ticket. Janet, that's where
I am. Exactly, right? It's all about the party.
Put your hands, you're done.
Do you know what? When I did a show at Goodman Theater, 2666, it was a 5.5-hour extravaganza with, you know, like 18 people. And normally would be unproducible because no one would be able to afford to produce the show. Roy Cockrum Foundation funded the show, and Bob Fosse and Seth Bulkley directed, co-directed together and adapted this huge novel into this play. And we were all back in the green room one day during rehearsal saying, gosh, he won the Powerball, this guy, Roy Cockrum, won the Powerball, set up a foundation to fund theater that would normally be unproducible. What a wonderful thing to do with all that money, right? What would you do? And so it's, what would you do? Well, we all had our altruistic things that we would do if we won this money. Ultimately, what we all decided, I think 9 out of 10 of us finally decided the one thing that we would do selfish for ourselves is hire a driver.
Because
they would pick you up. They'd take you to that first audition, and you could work on your lines on the way. You can take a change of clothes. You can change up. They're waiting for you when you come down. You don't have to find a place to park. You don't have to pick. Yeah. You don't have to double park. And then they take you to your show. All the stress that would roll off of you.
Totally.
If somebody was driving you around.
Life goals.
Right. I have a friend who's a motivational speaker, and she forfeits part of the speaker fee just to have a driver for that reason.
Oh, wow.
To like not stress about parking, to, you know.
Huh, I wonder if I could get that in there.
Write that in your contract.
Yeah, there you go. Everyone, go see Janet Ulrich Brooks at the theater at the center in Munster. She's portraying Ann Landers in The Lady with All the Answers, and we've been just so thrilled to have you in studio and look forward to the next production. You said you have another one coming up soon with our friend Cheryl Lynn Bruce. Love to have you in to talk about that as well. Again, everyone can go to theater@thecenter.com for ticket information, or you can call the box office at 219-836-3255. Janet, safe travels. We'll see you very soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having us.
So much fun.
Here.